relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. For my friends checking out video, is it too dark in here? Because I actually have a couple of extra lights off right now to keep the temperature down. So let me know if I should turn the lights on or leave it like this. Merry Christmas, everybody. I know, it's still 24 days away, but usually for me, as soon as Thanksgiving is over, we now start getting into the Christmas spirit. All right, everybody's saying it's dark, but it's okay. All right, you know, just want to have a little bit more intimate surroundings tonight. Yeah, actually, I am going to be putting a little tree up in the background as well. But and for everyone who doesn't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays to you also. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight to Wednesday Night Dynamite. We will talk a little bit about tonight's Dynamite, get into some wrestling news that it has nothing to do with Raw or SmackDown. We will talk about NXT War Games, can't say TakeOver. We already explained why that was removed. No controversy there. And a few other things that are going on. You know, originally when I was going to start tonight's show off, I was going to say, you know, how do you piss off Hangman Page? Do you make fun of his drinking habits? Do you call him a drunk? Do you make fun of his horse? No. If you say cowboy shit, it's all right. But if you say coward shit, oh, that's it. He'll run down in the cowboy boots. That's it. You call me coward shit? That's it. That's it. The line has been crossed. But I obviously couldn't open up with that, even though I just did. Cody, set yourself on fire. Jump off the Empire State Building. Put yourself through a trillion thumbtacks. Break glass. People know that you work your ass off behind the scenes. You know, bleeding and having skin peeling and doing stuff like that. You know, everybody knows the success that you are. Everybody knows how important you are for AEW and its success. Everybody knows you work hard. But making yourself bleed and going through burning tables and going through glass, thumbtacks, chairs, you know, it's not going to change things. I mean, people respect your work. Look, he's not going to listen to me, so I shouldn't even be discussing him. I think we all agree on this. Look, as a wrestling fan, the main event tonight was fun. Without question, it was fun. It's just an overall, and ironically, Anthony Ogogo, who I felt was really the start of this big turn by the fans on Cody. Anthony Ogogo, good for him, just made his return to AEW. And if you see me looking down a little bit during the shows, because I got to keep my timestamps going. You know, remember, everyone, actually, I think they made it official today. Ah, look at that. That's pretty cool. Yes, I am a proud member of the Blue Wire family. Never in a million years did I would I ever think that we would get the first 100,000 downloads on the Blue Wire in 11 days. In 11 days. That goes out for all of the instigators out there that are like, oh, this podcast on YouTube does 10 times the views you do. Oh, this other show gets 10 times the viewers on YouTube than you do. And what did I say for the last 2 years? This is video versions of my shows. I want you to see my eyes. I want you to see the authenticity. Whether I say things if you like or you don't like it. We also have fun on the shows. We do some lighthearted stuff. Sometimes I eat 25-year-old gum, 30-year-old cereal. you know, things that need to be on video. But still, 85% of my friends out there tune in to audio-only versions of the shows. And now they're seeing it. You know me, it's a good thing about me, but it's a bad thing about me. I always feel I got to prove everything that I say because there's so much fake and so much lying online. I think you all realize that by now. But getting back to Dynamite tonight, you know, I hope Cody's okay. I mean, you know, look, Brandy, I want to be part of the main event. I want to put the lighter fluid. Please, let me be. I mean, it's not going to be Arn Anderson doing it because hopefully Arn Anderson is okay. You know, if you remember a little joke that I made a couple of months ago, that double A is actually double W. I know that sounds kind of funny. Double A is double W, Weeble Wobble. Arn Anderson proves that Weeble Wobbles, but they do fall down. If anybody remember Weeble Wobbles when we were kids, Arn Anderson, I love him, man. Four Horsemen, greatest faction in the history of pro wrestling. You know, it's bar none. I mean, just the amount of tickets that they sold, the fan base, the feuds, the suspension of disbelief. I mean, their careers. Four Horsemen, epic. But Arn Anderson is a shell of himself. And, you know, of course, he's respected, you know, and we love him. But he can't move like he used to. And if you didn't see it on Dynamite tonight, you know, it was a part where they were, where Andrade and Cody, because they had an Atlanta street fight, they were brawling down the rampway, and Jose gets involved. You had Arn Anderson get involved, and I guess Jose was going to charge Arn Anderson, and Arn Anderson was supposed to take him down. Arn Anderson just fell off the stage. It just fell off the stage. It looked like Humpty Dumpty. Sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And I hate to say it like that, but it's true. It's true. Arn Anderson, I hope he's okay. I hope he's okay. Just being honest, everybody. But, you know, I hope Cody's okay because, you know, for those that missed the spot, we had a flaming table spot to finish the match. And Brandy came out and poured two bottles of lighter fluid, you know, the Zippo fluid. Remember when we talked in detail about Supreme, God rest his soul, from XPW? I think they used barbecue lighter fluid. Barbecue lighter fluid. Guy was in critical condition in the hospital. You know, use Zippo fluid because it goes out rather quickly. The thing with Cody, though, is that, you know, he landed on the table and the metal parts lifted up. And basically, it was a great visual. You saw, like, the black from the parts of the table. You know, I think they probably, I don't want to say they should have used a different table, but you saw how much of that table started peeling off from that spot. I'm a little surprised that the referee, and I know what you're going to say, well, he had to count the pin, but I'm a little surprised that there wasn't quicker action to put that fire out. And if you saw when Cody went for the pin on Andrade, there was still a little bit of flames. So if you look close, props to Andrade, he saw it, and he was like trying to act like he was going to kick out, but he was really putting that little bit of flame out on, you know, that was on Cody. And I know if we want to be sinister for a minute, you know, was the flame on the tattoo? I'm just asking. I mean, I didn't instant replay it. As soon as the match was over, I ran in here to do the show. But it would be a little bit of irony if we go back and watch it, and the area that was on fire was that fucking tattoo. Melt that shit off. Take that off. The Nightmare Family. But not a bad episode of Dynamite. I thought it was a decent episode tonight. Flowed really, really well. There was one point during the show I thought there was a horrible placement of something that went down. We'll talk about it. And, oh, sure, Jim Cornette will trash the match. Look, not everybody's into street fights. Not everybody's into hardcore stuff. You know, I mean, it's not for everybody. Look, AEW is not for everybody. NXT is not for everybody. I mean, Ring of Honor, you could go down a list. I mean, there's a lot of niche, you know, and some promotions out there do a little bit more violence than others. You know, I just thought Dynamite tonight overall was a decent show. We have the ratings from last week's show, and I tell you, The Rampage rating really, really proves something that we said months and months and months ago. And don't give me the Thanksgiving excuse, because if you look at SmackDown's rating, and I guess we could talk about the ratings for a brief moment. Then we'll talk about Dynamite. We'll do predictions for War Games, and we'll get out of here. But if you look at the ratings, SmackDown, you know, Friday was the day after Thanksgiving. Now, I was away, obviously, and I did not watch Rampage live. I did not watch SmackDown live. And a lot of people were trying to blame Rampage's low rating on Friday to Thanksgiving. The interesting thing about it is SmackDown also aired on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and SmackDown did 2,149,000 viewers, which was actually an increase of 4% from the week before. The day after Thanksgiving, SmackDown went up 4%. How did Rampage do? Rampage went down 22.5%, down to 431,000 viewers. Now, I have always said that Rampage, even before episode one, I said I expect Rampage's rating to fluctuate between 550,000 to 750,000 viewers. And I think I have been pretty spot on with that. You know, you could have somebody debut, you could have some major thing go down, and yeah, you will see a spike of viewership. And am I concerned about Rampage? No. No, not at all. Because Rampage is proving one thing. It's not must-see TV live. It doesn't matter if it's pre-recorded or if it's live. They did a live Rampage a couple of weeks ago, and the ratings were not as good as a lot of people expected. See, we talked about it on Patreon on Tuesday, Mish and I. And for our elite channel members here, on probably Friday, I will put up that Patreon episode so you could listen to it and enjoy it. But one thing I said is that if you notice online, Tony Khan has really reeled back about appeasing that really fringe element on the left, especially those that run websites and do podcasts, because I think Tony Khan is starting to realize that this obsessed fandomhood, that everything is amazing, epic, unbelievable, the MJF CM Punk thing is the greatest thing we've seen on TV in 20 years, and this and that. And don't get me wrong, last week was freaking awesome. I watched it twice. I enjoyed every minute of it. But you know the people out there, they put that royal crown on that infamous pose of Tony Khan. He's got like dress clothes on. You know the one I'm talking about. Booker of the year, booker of the decade, promoter of the year, promoter of the decades. Blah, blah, blah. I'll trade in my dad for Tony Khan if he would be my father. The really whacked out people on the left are the ones that are hurting AEW. Because there's such a toxic element online that if you even admit that you enjoy NXT a little bit more than AEW, what are you fucking stupid? What are you retarded? What the hell is wrong with you? Are you bent? You're obviously, you don't get laid. That's the new one that a lot of people, this person obviously doesn't get laid. And it's funny because so many people out there immediately assume that everybody's a heterosexual. They always say, they don't get laid. They don't get the vagina. They don't get the pussy. They don't get this. You know, it's the old school dumb shit. You know, me, I enjoy all wrestling. I might enjoy some of it more than others, but I enjoy wrestling. And if I don't want to see something, nobody is forcing me to watch anything. But as far as Rampage goes, what has happened is simple. Simple. Rampage is not a show that everybody wants to stop what they're doing and watch it on Friday night at 10 p.m. If it went on at 8 o'clock, it would even be worse because now you got to choose SmackDown or AEW. And something tells me, and I've brought this up for over a year, with Dynamite. You know, when you see a million viewers on Dynamite, did you ever ask yourself, are all million of those viewers just AEW fans? Or what percentage of the fans that watch Dynamite? Dynamite last week did 898,000 viewers the day before Thanksgiving. And a lot of people thought the number was going to be much worse. That's why I don't pay attention to overnight ratings. But I ask you this. Of the 900,000 viewers that watched Dynamite last week, what percentage of them would you say also watch Raw? Also watch SmackDown? For all of you live, how many of you live, or even on a replay, how many of you that watch Dynamite also watch Raw and SmackDown? Especially SmackDown. So if you do, and let's say that's 40% of those fans that watch WWE programming also watch Dynamite, what does that leave you with? As far as fans that only watch AEW, it's not a big number. So how many of the people who watch Rampage at 10 o'clock live, how many of them also watch SmackDown? You're trying to tell me that nobody that watches SmackDown watches Rampage? Remember, before Rampage debuted, what was the one thing that everybody kept saying, especially that radical left of AEW fans? Oh, that is a lead-in to SmackDown. So we're going to have, even if half the audience of SmackDown at 10 o'clock, they're still in the wrestling frame of mind. I mean, most people, if they go out, they're not going to leave the house at 10 o'clock. They're going to leave the house at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, happy hour, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, O'Rock. People know why I said that. And if you know, you're old, just like me. But, I mean, everybody thought, oh, it's a lead-in to SmackDown. So we'll get a lot of viewers from SmackDown that'll sample Rampage and may like it and tune into it. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. SmackDown, yes, it's on regular broadcast television. But still the point is, Rampage at 10 o'clock, it's not a show that everybody wants to stop what they're doing and watch it at 10. You'll watch it on YouTube. You'll watch replays because TBS shows replays, TNT, excuse me, shows replays during the week. So you'll watch Rampage. Believe me, over a million people watch Rampage. It's just they won't watch it on Friday night at 10 o'clock for various reasons. It's not must-see TV where you stop what you're doing. And again, when you think about it at 10 o'clock at night, how many of you out there know someone who watches SmackDown and then at 10 o'clock says, ooh, time for me to go out? Not a lot of people leave their house at 10 o'clock. Don't give me the California stuff. That is just insanely stupid because there's always been a three-hour time difference when wrestling was on in California. Give me a break with that dumb shit. So the ratings, Rampage 431, I think they bounce back a little bit this week, but Rampage for this Friday is not a real blockbuster of a show. I mean, sure, if you're a Sammy Guevara fan, you'll tune in. Him taking on Tony Nese, nothing against Tony Nese. Tony Nese is a homeboy from my neck of the woods, but is Tony Nese versus Sammy Guevara going to be a ratings draw? When you can't even get Jade Cargill's opponent on the graphic on TV. Instead, she'll be in action. What does that tell you? And FTR is going to take on Penta and Pac. You know, is that something that, oh, I have to watch that at 10 o'clock? No, it's not. It's not. That's why I think sometime in 2022, you will see Rampage go to a different time slot. Hell, I even think putting it on a Saturday night at like 6 or 7, I think that actually would do better than a Friday night at 10 o'clock because there's no offset of wrestling on Saturday. Sure, it would be very difficult if AEW has a pay-per-view on a Saturday. You know, WWE does have pay-per-views coming on Saturday, and I wonder how many people think that WWE is starting to move some of their pay-per-views to Saturday simply to avoid the chance of AEW putting on a Saturday night show instead of Friday night. Something to think about. I mean, when you got goofs online trying to convince you that WWE employees think Tony Khan buys extra tickets just to pad the numbers of tickets sold. You know, it's just asinine stupid. So, but anyway, so I hope, you know, everybody that saw Rampage, saw Dynamite, you know, realize, you know, with Cody's back, I mean, you know, the smoke, the fire, the chair peeling off, you know, there's a covering. You know, I personally, I don't know if he suffered serious burns on his back. I'm sure he had some burns, no question. When that stuff is melting off the table and it sticks to your back because of the sweat, that's going to cause some burn. But I think some of the peeling, like Dayhawk was asking and others, is I think it's the coating of the table itself. There is a little bit of a wax coating on that table. So I think that's part of what we saw tonight. I also want to mention quickly, too, Impact on Thursday did 48,000 viewers, which was a 63% drop. I do not worry about that. That definitely was affected by Thanksgiving. If you look at Impact Wrestling on Thursday nights in the past on Thanksgiving, their numbers were not good either. So I would not be concerned with that whatsoever. So with that said, let's talk a little bit about Dynamite tonight. And then we will do NXT predictions and get out of here. And if you're around tomorrow night at 10:05, join me here for Q&A. We're going to do some live Q&A, may do a little bit of trivia, some fun little trivia, because everybody seems to enjoy the trivia on Thursday night. So maybe we'll do some trivia. I'll see about airing some retro content that a lot of you wanted. And you know, we'll go from there. So, pretty cool. Pretty freaking cool. You know, Kevin Milwaukee says, soon I'm going to have more viewers than Impact does on a Thursday. Yeah, I mean, individual episodes that I do sometimes, if you add audio and video together, it's definitely more than the 48,000 that they scored. But, you know, that's a holiday. So Impact obviously was going to go down because of that. No cause for concern. Everybody loved Sting's face paint tonight. Yeah, I think it was overshadowed by the fact that Darby Allin had full face paint on tonight as well. You know, I tell you, I really freaking loved the change in face paint for Sting. Obviously, that's a tribute to Darby Allin. I know there's people that have been in music over the years and maybe some other wrestling characters that the face paint for Sting looked similar, but nah, that's a tribute to Darby Allin. That's a rub to Darby Allin. And how cool was it also? How cool was it also that, and I actually did the research and pulled the date if you want to go check it out. Tonight we had, and I do go out of place when we do recap. I don't go in match order. You know, we talk about the highlights. And if you didn't see Dynamite based on my recap and just quick thoughts, if that just sways you to watch it, go watch it. But tonight we had Sting and Darby Allin take on the Gun Club, Austin Gunn and Billy Gunn. And to me, you know, I'm sorry. A lot of people hate when I do this, but, you know, I call it padding the numbers match. Just like CM Punk versus Lee Moriarty, it's a padding the numbers match. Bryan Danielson versus Allen Angels, 5, 10, 20, 1, 3, 7, any member of the Dark Order number 45, you know, those are padding the numbers match. You know, when you see some of the matches, Adam Cole, oh, he fought Anthony Green on Evolution or whatever it was. Oh, Elevation. Oh, yeah, that's a padding the numbers match. A lot of these wrestlers have matches simply to increase the wins in their department. When AEW insists on having this top five thing, uh-oh. We got to really start elevating this part. Okay, we'll just give him this person and this person and this person and this person and this person. How match results from Dark and Elevation show up on the main numbers for Dynamite baffles me. Because you don't use NXT. You just, it's supposed to be the development of the younger stars getting a little experience. Sure, you bring some bigger stars to draw them in a little bit. But when you see someone, you know, wrestle 75% of their matches on Dark, and then all of a sudden you see a stat and they're like 32-6. Yeah, because they're fighting Lisa Leftfoot or Samantha Skin Legion. I was going to say Skinhead, but I didn't mean it like that. I just thought, what goes with Samantha? You know, it's ridiculous. So tonight's match, Battle of the Undefeated Teams in AEW in 2021. Tell me who's going to go further in their undefeated streak, Sting and Darby Allin or the Gun Club? They don't do disqualifications. So, I mean, it's padding the numbers match. But what was cool about it was that, yes, we had the NWO, and you had that little confrontation with Sting at a WrestleMania, and there was a little stare down with Billy Gunn and Sting, and, oh my God, you know, wouldn't that be cool if they faced each other, said almost nobody until they were both in AEW. But now, tonight, Sting and Billy Gunn faced off in the ring. The first time that they have since February 18, 1989, almost 33 years ago, Sting and Billy Gunn, and at the time, his name was, I wrote it down, Kip Montana. So if you want to do a YouTube search later, look up Sting versus, or if you have Peacock or WWE Network outside the U.S., go to February 18, 1989, and I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube. You could see Sting and Billy Gunn. It's a squash match. I mean, it's very, very quick. But, you know, some people were asking tonight, is that the longest time between two people facing off in the ring? And, you know, I obviously have not had time to do that research yet. Something tells me no. Something tells me that I'm sure we had two people wrestle each other in the 70s or in the 80s and then faced off each other with each other in an indie wrestling event. You know, I think of Snuka. I mean, Snuka's been gone now for a few years, but some people at Snuka fought in like the late 70s. He definitely faced off on an indie show in sometime in the 2000s, I would think. Hell, you know, he wrestled teaming up with Sabu against Mexico's Most Wanted, one of the shows that I don't want to say co-ran with the Masked Maniac. He did 90% of the work. But, you know, I mean, that year was what, 2006? So you mean to tell me Snuka did not fight maybe Greg the Hammer Valentine in the mid-2000s and they might have faced off in the 70s somewhere? So I don't know. I will look that up. But 33 years between in-ring action is pretty wild when you think about it. I mean, even if you were a rookie, you know, you would, to be 33 years later, you would have at the youngest right now would be somewhere around 50 years old, you know, because 33 years ago, if you're 20 at the time, you'd be 53 right now. And nobody's going to wrestle for a major promotion under the age of 18. But maybe in the 70s, somebody got to wrestle at 16 years old. So, but fun match. But the outcome was obviously expected. One thing I want to mention right off the bat, we saw a segment tonight where 2.0 attacked Chris Jericho. That was pre-recorded last week. Jericho is overseas with Fozzy right now, and that's why they did the segment, to write him off of TV for this week. Thunder Rosa will actually be doing commentary this week. And, you know, this set up the Jade Cargill squash match, obviously. They went out of their way to remind us that Thunder Rosa's student, Jenna Kai, I believe it is. She's going to take on Cargill Friday in what I call a padding the numbers match. She's going to squash the student. She's probably going to take some liberties after the match is over. Thunder Rosa is going to have to throw down the headset, run down the ring, because if you haven't figured it out, Thunder Rosa and Jade Cargill are facing off in the semifinals for the TBS tournament. So you could see Friday exactly what is going to go down. On the opposite side, Nyla Rose will be taking on Ruby Soho in the semifinals. Tonight, Ruby Soho will be Chris Statlander in the quarterfinals. And I tell you, I think, you know, based on a lot of your feedback over the last month or so, I think this final four is pretty much what everybody expected. I think the only other person that some people thought was going to make it this far was Hikaru Shida. So, you know, you could almost see. I mean, what do you all think? Those that are live right now, and for those watching on the replay, post it in the comment section. Who do you think the finals are going to be? Because everybody is betting on Jade Cargill to become this TBS champion. Now, you know me. I have a lot of praise for Jade Cargill. Is she ready for prime time to hold a women's championship along with Britt Baker? And I don't know if Jade Cargill is ready to be in that spot yet. A year from now, I will feel differently. Just like I say about Liv Morgan. You know, we were talking about it on Monday. You know, Liv Morgan taking on Becky Lynch, for me, that's more of a test. That's to see exactly where Liv Morgan is on the food chain right now. I almost, if you want to compare it to AEW, I almost compare it to Fuego del Sol versus Miro. You know, I think we know what the outcome is going to be with Becky versus Liv, but a year from now, I think a year from now, Liv Morgan will be more suited to win that championship. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, could you imagine Liv Morgan being women's champion on Raw? And Ruby Soho being women's champion on AEW? Could you see that coming together? Yeah, in a storybook, absolutely. And that would be cool, but I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. As much as I like Jade Cargill, and she is definitely on her way to stardom, I don't think she's ready to be the focal point and have a women's championship. So I think the finals will go down. Oh, boy. I think Ruby Soho definitely goes to the finals. In a perfect world, I think Thunder Rosa versus Ruby Soho would be pretty awesome, you know, to take place at the beginning of January. I don't know if we're going to see Soho versus Cargill. I don't know how great of a match that would be. So I'm going to go against the odds. I'm going to say that Thunder Rosa and Ruby Soho will be in the finals. Unless, I think I just figured it out. It's too soon to have Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa rekindle their feud. That's why we got the Riho, you know, diversion right now. I think once Britt Baker is done with Riho, Thunder Rosa may go after Britt Baker. So the outcome of Thunder Rosa and Jade Cargill will pretty much tell you what Thunder Rosa's future is going to be. Either Thunder Rosa is going to fight for that TBS championship, or she's going to take on Cargill, and maybe Britt Baker causes Thunder Rosa to match. Hence, setting, because for people that don't know, you know, we're getting Riho versus Britt Baker, I think, in 2 weeks, and Winter is Coming. You know, they're putting Winter is Coming together to be a big night on TV. If you didn't watch Dynamite tonight, I think I downloaded the banner. Did I download the banner? Hold on. Yeah, I did. Did I? Yes, I did. I downloaded the banner. In 2 weeks, we're getting Bryan Danielson versus Hangman Page. Now, how many of you out there honestly thought we're going to get that in 2 weeks? Remember, this was supposed to go to January. Danielson was supposed to go through every member of the Dark Order before he got to Hangman Page. They're doing it in 2 weeks. King of Games, much love, my friend. I will answer your question when it pops up, because I actually had one problem with tonight's Dynamite, and it's a very, very tiny one. If this is the worst that I could criticize Dynamite for tonight, should tell you that it was a pretty damn good show. I'll answer that in a moment. But Danielson was supposed to go through every member of the Dark Order before getting the Hangman Page. That was supposed to go to January. They decided to do it at Winter is Coming. So now the big question is, what is AEW going to do in January with Hangman Page? If Kenny Omega is ready to return, I think Omega versus Danielson versus Hangman Page is still a possibility. All right, for some reason, your question didn't come up that way. So we'll put it here. Am I surprised about people being upset that MJF mentioned Britt Baker? King of Games, thank you for the five spot, the super chat, my friend. Oh, I was prepared for your question. There it goes. All right. So nice. It showed up twice. My answer to that, and I was prepared. I had a feeling somebody was going to ask that question tonight. My answer is this. Does that answer your question? For those on audio only, I have a picture up right now of MJF backstage tonight at Dynamite with Britt Baker. MJF giving a middle finger to the camera and Britt Baker smiling from ear to ear. Nobody should be upset that MJF mentioned Britt Baker. Yes, it's a little bit odd. It was very odd. Don't get me wrong. I thought the Britt Baker mention was strange for a couple of reasons. Number one, I just so happen to have it on the desk. CM Punk is married to this person who is, I think he's very, very happy in his marriage. If you're going to talk about CM Punk from 10 years ago, then I could see that happening. Because CM Punk was, if you watch that match that I showed you, that rare match that was never seen online before between Ian Rotten and CM Punk, I actually co-ran that show. And Title Match Network had like a horrible, butchered, unedited version. They took 5 minutes of content out of there because they got to be so politically correct and they can't show anything. It's, fuck that. So if that was CM Punk from 10, 15 years ago, yeah, I could see the comment MJF saying that. But CM Punk is happily married right now. So the Britt Baker comment was just dumb. I just thought it was dumb. Should anybody be offended by it? No. You know what I had a problem with tonight? You know what I had a problem with? I had a problem with what went down right after CM Punk and MJF. Now, CM Punk and MJF tonight had another back and forth, throwing verbal barbs at each other. It obviously wasn't as good as last week, but it was still fun nonetheless. Tonight, CM Punk took on Lee Moriarty, beat him. Decent match, went a lot longer. I don't think anybody should be complaining that CM Punk is having these very long matches. Welcome to AEW. Wardlow is the exception to the rule. Almost nobody, maybe Jade Cargill, almost nobody gets squash match victories on TV. I'm talking Dynamite. And even Rampage to an extent. It almost never freaking happens. So when Danielson's in the ring, Adam Cole's in the ring. Remember that match that Kenny Omega had? Who was it against? Was it against John Silver? It couldn't have been against John Silver. Who was the person? Because I know a lot of you out there that are AEW fans remember it. Who did Kenny Omega face that it went like 7 or 8 minutes and social media, that fringe element on the left, were going batshit over it saying, why is Kenny Omega having a 7-8 minute match against Allen Angels? Wow, really? It was Allen Angels. I feel bad for Allen Angels. You remember that match? And people like, is he going 7-8 minutes, 9 minutes on this person? That's Tony Khan's mentality with these shows. Look at the pay-per-views. You know, you don't see a match happening in 4 or 5 minutes. You don't ever, on his pay-per-views now, really, with the very, very, very rare exception, you don't get the, oh, let me go buy a pretzel match. Well, let me go pee. You know, let me go outside and smoke a cigarette. Let me go stretch my legs. Let me go buy a shirt. Let me go walk around. You know, every match, it's got to, everybody, you work so hard. Everybody gets a 15-minute match, give or take a little bit, you know? So Wardlow is a very rare exception to the rule to be able to get the squash match. So CM Punk taking on Lee Moriarty tonight, and they're going long. Nobody should be surprised with that anymore. And when you get the over-the-top wackos that are like, oh, CM Punk, he's living up to what he said, that he's giving back, that he's helping elevate the young talent of tomorrow, and he's helping the other. The fuck out of here. Tony Khan is the one doing that. He's the one saying, all right, 7 minutes, 9 minutes, two commercial breaks. That, not every match, but see a bug say, oh, you elevate this starts for tomorrow. He's not a jobber. One fall. Lee Moriarty is much more talented than I even was aware of, and I took notice a couple of weeks ago. But his name right now is obviously not a big name. But during the match tonight, we had MJF on commentary. It's Jim Ross, God bless him, he is going through extensive chemo. I think he has had two or three treatments already, and he's hoping to return to AEW in a couple of weeks. So, you know, best of wishes to Jim Ross undergoing chemo for skin cancer. And you know what? Since we're talking about health right now, I would like to just shift for a moment, talk about Big Swall. Then we'll get back to Dynamite, wrap that up, do predictions for NXT and get out of here. By the way, if you're enjoying tonight's show, smash that like button. Helps. More than you know. More than you know. And if you don't like the show, hit the thumbs down. Yes, I still see the thumbs down. I know YouTube changed their guidelines. And believe me, I know a lot of you have asked me what I thought about that. I'm fine with it. Because there's always a bunch of douchebags out there that simply because you announced that you're doing a show, they'll thumb you down before you even say a word. Podcasters that think I'm taking away their viewership and listener base, you know, oh, this asshole's doing a show tonight, thumbs down. So now all those jackasses that do that can't be seen anymore. I see it behind the scenes. Look, I'm being straight up with you right now. If I do a show and you truly don't like it, thumb it down. Because when I look back at the feedback, I could, you know, see, and it helps improve what I do. Always be honest. I'm fine with that. Honesty is fine. But I want to shift for a minute. Talk about Big Swall. Man, people don't fucking do any research. They don't understand Crohn's disease. They don't understand the seriousness of some of the health risks that people battle and be a wrestler at the same time. What I witnessed in the last 4 or 5 days about Big Swall is disgusting. It's disgusting. For the people that got angry because how dare somebody quit AEW? Remember what I said last week? I said when we talked about the Kira Hogan stuff, I said, you're going to start seeing people leaving AEW because as much as they enjoy what they're doing, you know, they also, time goes by and opportunities go by. But remember, these very, very relaxed contracts that AEW has, that's why a lot of wrestlers are still with them, because they are allowed to work elsewhere as long as it doesn't contradict AEW's schedule. The thing with Big Swall is that a lot of issues, including health, was preventing her to even put AEW at the top of her list. So let me read you her quick statement, and I'll tell you why. And don't get me wrong, not all of it was bad. There was a lot of love this week for Big Swall. But I'm going to vent on just some very weird shit that went down this week. Suddenly, everybody cares about Big Swole. Didn't give a flying fuck when she was in other promotions. You know, I remember everybody talking about, oh, Big Swole, NWA, Big Swole, Impact Wrestling. And she comes to AEW, and let's be honest, what she did with Britt Baker in the dentist office was probably the worst match that I've seen since Jenna Maraska. And was it Crystal Marshall? But if you remember that review that day, I said she is a hell of a lot better than that. And maybe in looking back on at that, maybe that's really all she could do at that time. But anyway, very quick statement. She says, and I quote, over the past couple of months, my life has taken on a mantra, grow, learn, change. Dealing with shadow work took strength I didn't know I had. I thank God for my loving family. For those who don't know, she's married to Cedric Alexander. Because they got me through some of the roughest moments of my life. But I realized the real test is application. So I took my leap, and after speaking with Tony Khan and AEW higher officials, we've decided not to renew my contract with AEW. This was a hard decision, but a needed one. I am grateful for their understanding and that we can mutually come to this agreement. I've enjoyed my time with AEW and wish them all the best. I appreciate their love and welcoming me into the family. Today is my last day, and as bittersweet as it is, I am proud to say that I've lived my dreams while making a difference. Now, for those that don't know, she is battling Crohn's disease. Now, I looked on a bunch of websites to give you the shortest, quickest explanation of what Crohn's disease is, and I found one, and I'm going to read you what it says. It's very quick, but it'll give you the gist of how serious it is. And when you hear this, think about somebody wrestling in the ring and dealing with this. Crohn's disease is an inflammatory bowel disease that affects the lining of your digestive tract. It sometimes could cause life-threatening complications. It causes abdominal pain, diarrhea, weight loss, anemia, and extreme fatigue. Some people may be symptom-free for most of their lives, while others could have severe chronic symptoms that never go away. Crohn's disease cannot be cured. Medications such as steroids and immunosuppressants are used to slow the progression of the disease. If these are not effective, a patient may require surgery. Additionally, patients with Crohn's disease may need to receive regular screening for colon cancer. So she's got a serious health issue. I watch goofs that could give a flying fuck about AEW and probably never watch the Big Swole match. Suddenly, they couldn't get Big Swole out of their mouths. And then you see these radical AEW fans that are starting to rag on Big Swole, taking it almost personal, like, how dare somebody quit AEW? Only WWE wrestlers can be let go out of their contracts, and it has to be forcibly by John Laurinaitis. I saw even assholes saying, you know, I think she lied about her Crohn's disease because it only came out while she was in AEW and it seemed more of a PR stunt than anything else. You know, for all of you out there that enjoyed Big Swole's work, whether she was in AEW or somewhere else before then, or have talked about her before, you know, or AEW fans, props to all of you out there who voiced an opinion on the matter. But I just find it funny that people that never even knew she existed, suddenly they're emotionally invested, you know, one way or the other about it. And I'm not talking about people that were just wishing her well, because as human beings, and you hear somebody battling that, but I saw so many people out there that have no freaking clue that she's battling this severe health issue and just assuming that she's unhappy creatively. How many douchebags do you see people writing that interpreted it that, oh, she's not getting a push, she quit? I wish her nothing but the best. But for all those people out there, man, you know, just really, really grasping at straws to try to keep the attention on yourselves socially, really ridiculous. Makes people look absolutely moronically stupid. So, but she is no longer part of AEW. So I wanted to make mention of that. So now we get back to MJF and CM Punk. So CM Punk has an extended match with Lee Moriarty. MJF is on commentary. Now we learn that next week in Long Island, and for everybody to ask me, hey, DT, you going to go? No, not going to go. I'd rather cover the show here. I got to work during the day. Nobody out there in podcast land had told me over the last bunch of years, hey, we all got to get together and this and that. Not one person. Hey, DT, we're all going to get together. You want to hang out? Not one person. I get it. It's all good. I have friends, you know, in indie wrestling that are going, that reached out, hey, you want to hang out? We're going to get together and this and that. And I said, by the time I get done with work, it's really cutting it close. You know, and the card, you know, it is what it is. But next week, MJF is wrestling in Long Island. MJF is from Long Island. So MJF playing off tonight that he's going to be cheered big time next week. And next week, they're having the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royale. Every year, the ring. The ring! The ring! Old school friends tuning in will know I said that. The ring! So now MJF, is he going to have that ring for a third year in a row? Or could somebody that has had a past with MJF, could they possibly end up becoming a final? Because remember, next week, somebody does not win the ring. Two people, the last two people, I think, fight the following week, which would be Winter is Coming. Now, I'm not saying that CM Punk, thank you, Sterling, for the kind words. I'm not saying that CM Punk is going to be in this Dynamite Diamond Battle Royale next week. But would it be interesting? Would it be rushed if CM Punk and MJF become the two final men in the Battle Royal, and then Winter is Coming, they fight for the ring? I'm not saying it's going to happen. Personally, I want Eddie Kingston to be in the final. Maybe Eddie Kingston and MJF. What do you think about that? By the way, I saw a quote. Somebody DM'd it to me also. With Eddie Kingston. I'm going to make a little prediction with Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston recently made a quote, said this, the next goal is to be the top guy, to be the champion, to be the guy on the posters, the guy that is AEW. That's what Kenny Omega was. That's what Jon Moxley was. That's what Chris Jericho was. That's what Hangman Page is right now. That's always the goal. How do you all react if I say, poor Larzula, poor Arzula, welcome to the family? How would you all react if I say to you that I will make a prediction, and this might be a really, really difficult one that to stick with, but I'm going to go with it, that by this time next year, Eddie Kingston will be AEW heavyweight champion? What do you say to that? Even if it's for a short, short run, I think Eddie Kingston could very well become AEW heavyweight champion in 2022. What do you all think about that? I think it's a possibility. I really do. And I'm not just saying that because I've been a huge fan of his AEW work. I praised his NWA work. Got spoiled watching him here in the Northeast for the last 18 years. So, I'm curious what you all think about that. So, MJF is on commentary. Kept telling us, look at CM Punk. He doesn't look like he's into it. He looks tired. He looks disheveled. CM Punk, CM should stand for cooking meth. Because if anybody that knows anything about meth, you know, whatever. This is PG Punk throwing a lot of verbal barbs. Now, after all the buzz and the millions of views online of their confrontation last week, you knew they were having a verbal exchange this week. And a lot of people last week felt that CM Punk handed MJF his ass with the promos, the battle back and forth. So I think this week they had to have MJF get a little bit one up on CM Punk. It felt like MJF was holding back a little bit with some of the things that I guess he would love to say to advance the storyline, but obviously there is limitations that you can go. But after CM Punk beats Lee Moriarty, you know, MJF gets on the mic. He starts, you know, insulting CM Punk. And then we get that really weird comment that CM Punk, you know, is trying to get in Britt Baker's pants. And I wrote the quote down. He says, "You look unamused." Coincidentally, that's what Britt Baker would look like if you got her in the bedroom. And he also says, you ain't CM Punk, you're one punk chump, I believe he said. The Britt Baker stuff was odd. Because you got Adam Cole there. It doesn't make sense to have that confrontation. I know CM Punk, and I understand why he said it. For those that did not see last week, CM Punk said that AEW talks about the four pillars, and MJF has already been replaced by Britt Baker. So that's why MJF brought it up tonight. Oh, CM Punk keeps talking about Britt Baker. He wants to get in her pants. I get why he said it. But it was just really, really odd because of CM Punk's current marital status. He's not, you know, a ladies' man, you know, anymore. And Britt Baker is involved with Adam Cole. I mean, obviously, this was discussed beforehand. So if anybody thinks that, you know, he went out on his own to do that. But, you know, how does it look for Adam Cole? You know what I mean? It's just, it felt like reaching. Then because CM Punk brings his dog, I think Larry, is that his name? That MJF threatening to put the dog down. You know, it felt a little bit reaching this week. But, you know, once CM Punk called MJF needle dick and it didn't get censored, that's it. That's it. Remember Sparkle Crotch? You know, needle dick is a little bit better than Sparkle Crotch. But needle dick will stick around for a little while for fans going against MJF. So, you know, it was a nice, fun exchange. Some of it was a little bit odd, but you know, I think you keep in the back of your mind the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal next week because MJF is going for a third year in a row. MJF does not have a match for Winter Is Coming. MJF, I think, will be one of the final two next week. Now, the big question is, would they go with him and CM Punk this early or would they go with him? I want to see MJF and Eddie Kingston be the final two. And who knows? Maybe CM Punk causes MJF the ring. The ring! The following week, Winter Is Coming. I mean, I'm sure Eddie Kingston would not want CM Punk to help him win. Eddie Kingston wants to do his stuff on his own. I wonder. Trying to think ahead. So, now I bring up, and I didn't forget about Bryan Danielson's match. We're just having a discussion, and it'll lead to it. Now, the only thing I did not like about tonight's Dynamite, maybe the beginning of Leo Rush's promo also. Everyone, Leo is a fighter. He's a fighter. Taz, you should know me. I'm a fighter. Crowd is not enjoying the segment. I'm a fighter. In case you didn't know, I'm a fighter. All right, how do I win the crowd over? Atlanta, you know I'm a fighter. We fight. That's all you got to do is put the attention on the crowd, gets it back. So maybe the beginning of Leo Rush's promo kind of fell flat. And it did. Anybody that tries to say otherwise. And how do I feel about Dante Martin joining Team Taz? I think it's a ruse. I think Dante Martin will ultimately clothesline attack Ricky Starks. I think it's all ends up being a setup. I don't like the idea of Dante Martin and Team Taz. It's not needed. You don't break what's not fixed. It felt like a storyline out of nowhere. It's kind of stupid. And it almost feels like if you're going to justify the storyline, maybe Team Taz scouted Dante Martin so he would not take on Ricky Starks. See where I'm going with that? I think in the end, I think Dante Martin turns on Ricky Starks. I don't know about the opposite, but I think Dante Martin will not be in Team Taz for that long, in my opinion. Slipper House, extra, extra. Thank you for the kind words, my friend. So, the only part that I really did not like tonight was the backstage interview, the pre-recorded interview with Tony Schiavone and Britt Baker, who had Jamie Hayter and Rebel with her. Jamie Hayter is going to turn on Britt Baker soon. You could see it. Or Britt will turn on Jamie Hayter. That split is coming. Winter is coming. Split is coming. What a horrible placement for that interview segment. We just had MJF bring up Britt Baker and CM Punk trying to bang Britt Baker. Now, I showed you this fun little picture. Obviously, if you look at this picture, Britt Baker has no problem with what MJF said. But they aired the Britt Baker interview segment immediately after the CM Punk MJF back and forth. And Britt Baker, no mention of what was just said. No remark to CM Punk, no dig. Tony Schiavone, the veteran journalist, you just heard that insult, that one-liner by MJF, no mention whatsoever. A horribly placed segment on Dynamite. That was dumb. It was asinine. You know, when you name drop Britt Baker to CM Punk and the whole crowd's going, and you follow right after with an interview with her and it's not mentioned at all because it's pre-recorded, horrible. They should have aired that segment with Britt either earlier or after another match. I don't know why. I don't know who in their right mind thought that that was smart to cue that up right after that. I thought it was absolutely stupid. So, if you didn't see Rampage on Friday, Riho gets the unexpected win on Britt Baker. So now next week, Riho takes on Jamie Hayter. If Riho beats Jamie Hayter, which she will, Riho will get Britt Baker in a match one-on-one. I'm assuming for Winter is Coming. Again, the Riho diversion was just done because of timing. I don't think there's any chance Riho becomes champion again. This is all to eat up a couple of weeks, keep a storyline going. And you know I'm a fan of Riho. I have nothing against Riho, but that's all what this is about. Bryan Danielson, man, the guy is freaking nailing it as an AEW number one heel. Is he the number one heel? I mean, he puts down that crowd and pisses people off. He had a match tonight against Allen Angels. Allen is from Atlanta, I believe. I saw the video package hyping it up. Bryan Danielson on social media earlier that he was going to go easy on Allen Angels, but since Allen Angels called him an asshole in the promo, he's going to beat the living shit out of him. And he beats him with the knee bar submission. And Hangman Page is on commentary. Now, when you watch the beginning of Dynamite tonight, And this is why I don't ever compare AEW programming to WWE programming. It is so different in the way they run their shows. If you watch tonight, that's a perfect example why I do not compare the two products. You watch SmackDown, Roman Reigns' music hits. Roman Reigns will walk down the ring slow. Roman Reigns will cut a promo, focus on his opponent, may set up a match later, may not. And the first 15 minutes, it's just talking, blah, 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 blah. Tonight, AEW's heavyweight champion comes out at the beginning of Dynamite, promo, pyro, music, everybody going nuts. He walks to the announcer's desk. That's the big difference between the two. AEW is about, you know, the matches, not so much with the storyline. You know, it's the same formula they've been doing since day one. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not episodic television at its finest. So, and don't get me wrong, when WWE does it, that doesn't mean that it's great all the time either. I want to make that clear. So, you have Hangman Page on commentary during Bryan Danielson versus Allen Angels. Fun little segment. We found out earlier tonight that in 2 weeks of Winter is Coming, they will be facing off for the championship. And after the match is over, Bryan Danielson gets on the mic and he is bad-mouthing Atlanta. He's bad-mouthing Hangman Page. He's talking about how he found out that he's having a match next week against somebody from Long Island, which is John Silver. John Silver's from my neck of the woods. And, you know, he's basically putting down the credibility, the value of these members of the Dark Order, that they're inferior to him. And, you know, technically they are. I mean, good placement by AEW by having a lot of members of the Dark Order wrestling high-profile matches in hometowns lately. So, Bryan Danielson's thrown a lot of insults to Hangman Page. And again, it was funny because Hangman Page is at the commentary booth and Bryan Danielson is throwing insult after insult after insult after insult. And the minute that Bryan Danielson says, it's not cowboy shit, it's coward shit. That's it. Took the headset off, run down the ring, cowboy boots. Hi-ho, Silver. Hi-ho, John Silver. I just figured it out. Hi-ho, Silver. And Tony Khan made a little stipulation that Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page can't touch each other. If they do, I guess Hangman is suspended? Okay. I'm sorry, I'm going to say something that might annoy some people, but Hangman Page is obviously a lovable babyface. You know, he's got that boyish look. He's a tough guy, no question. But if you go back and you watch that exchange with Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page, and Bryan Danielson wants to hit Hangman Page, but that Atlanta crowd doesn't deserve it, and he walks off. I mean, if you look at Hangman Page, like really, really soft-spoken. Bryan, hit me. Go ahead, hit me. Hit me. Go ahead, hit me. Hit me. Go ahead, hit me. Hit me. What happened to the fucking Hangman Page with the white of his eyes that he's about to snap? Why is he like, hit me? Like, have a little bit of attitude. Be a little pissed off. Go back and watch it. You could have had dentist music in the background. Bryan, go ahead, hit me. Hit me. Bryan, go ahead, hit me. I dare you. I double dare you. I triple dare you. I dare you, hit me. I know I'm exaggerating, but my God, Hangman Page, act a little bit pissed off. Try to bait the motherfucker in punching you in the mouth. Go on your knees. Close your eyes. Put your hands behind your back. Good. Free shot. Hit me. Come on, Bryan. That's what you want to do. No, it's hit me. I dare you. I dare you. Hit me. Think I'm lying? Go back and watch it. So, next week we have, actually a Rampage. We got Tony Nese versus Sammy Guevara for the TNT title. We have the Jade Cargill squash match that we talked about before. We got FTR versus Penta and Pac. Okay. The only other segment other than Miro. Miro's seen the light. Miro's somehow losing it. I don't know where Miro's going from here, but it almost feels like he's got to try to get Sammy Guevara again. Miro, there's no other titles for you to go for. Unless, do you think he attacks Hangman Page in 2 weeks? Could we get Miro versus Hangman Page after? I don't know. Ruby Soho beats Chris Statlander. Fun little match. You know, they took a lot of the space stuff with Chris Statlander out, you know, and there's still a little bit of antics with her. You know, she comes off a little bit too, and I say this with love, a little too normal. Walking down the ring. I know, not dancing, but she's just walking like. But it was a fun match. Ruby Soho, you know, had a little bit of ring rust, obviously. And the matches that she has, they're getting better and better and better. I really hope we get Ruby versus Thunder Rosa. I think that would be an outstanding match. I think they both would tear it up. Tear it up. Adam Cole, are we getting Best Friends versus the Super Elite next week? It's not really an Acme Insta feud. Christian obviously had the night off, but I don't know. Suddenly Christian, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, they could care less about the Young Bucks, Adam Cole. Maybe they weren't there, I don't know. But this time around, Adam Cole comes out, and let me make this clear, everybody. Now, it's just coincidence that last Sunday we had the conversation about Adam Cole and, you know, the way he's been used in AEW. And as long as he's happy and the fans are happy, is that good enough? Even if he's not, you know, getting the high profile push, as a lot of people call it. Tony Khan got very offended by some people on social media comparing Adam Cole in AEW to Adam Cole in NXT. And Tony Khan, you know, Tony, you know, you got to resist. He's like, there are more people watching Adam Cole in AEW. He's over as fucking AEW. Look at the ratings on Tuesday. Well, sir, Adam Cole was on Rampage and got 400,000 viewers. So Adam Cole today, and let me make this clear, he went on commentary to not really go on commentary because Orange Cassidy came out and it was a setup. The Young Bucks and Adam Cole attack Orange Cassidy and, oh, good, Best Friends, the AJ Styles clone and Wheeler Yuta, who eventually will turn. Wheeler Yuta is like the potted plant of Best Friends. You still say to yourself, he's like, and again, I'm sorry for outdating it, but it's like Oliver and the Brady Bunch or that blonde-haired fuck from Family Ties, the little kid. Like, one season ends and the next season happens. You're like, what? Who is this person that's on the show now? Like, Wheeler Yuta, it's like, why is he a best friend? What happened to the Forbidden Door? The Japanese are coming. You know, what happened to all this stuff? You know, Okada approves or whoever it is out there. What happened to all of that? Chaos. What happened? Forbidden Door, my balls. Somebody's coming to the United States. You know what happened? More COVID stuff. Mike, Rampage is taped. They will get FTR tonight. We'll see about others. Malakai Black, I believe, is injured from Full Gear. Maybe he still needs some extra time off. I don't know. Yeah. Am I wrong, Darren? Wheeler Yuta just showed up one day and he's a best friend. So Adam Cole, when he came out to do commentary, which ended up not being commentary, instead of Hangman Page coming to the ring, soaking in the accolades, then go on commentary, heavyweight champion. No, Adam Cole comes all the way to the ring, Boom! Adam Cole, baby. Soaks in the accolades, goes back to the table. Why? That was all done because of what went down on social media this week. Him coming to the ring when he's just going to do commentary was simply to get that Adam Cole pop from the crowd so Tony Khan could sit in the back and go, oh, excuse me. See everybody? I told you. That pose that everybody uses, Booker of the Year. That was him tonight. He's like, Adam, you know, show these people on social media how stupid they are. Go to the ring. Before you go on commentary, just go to the ring and do what you do, and then go back to commentary. And as that's happening, Tony's on social media like, hey, you see, I told you, you're wrong. That's all that was tonight. Meanwhile, other people lose a little bit extra time because of that. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. So that pretty much was Dynamite tonight. Fun show. Absolutely fun show. Not dogging it. So next week they're in Long Island. The following week is Winter is Coming. And should be a fun 2 weeks of AEW on the horizon. Now, let's talk quickly about NXT and get out of here. We have this Sunday, War Games. Now, I appreciate every single one of you out there that have paid very close attention to what I've said about NXT, especially for the last 18, 19 months. Because it was in March of last year that I said that NXT needs to go back to its roots and be a developmental territory once again. And as we talked about it before, they removed TakeOver from the name because they don't want people to keep pushing this current NXT, which is about developing stars of tomorrow and having some name value of stars today to mix in with each other. You need veterans and you need some stars to basically help guide the wrestlers of tomorrow. You know, you go back in the day and you watch WWF Superstars, Sunday Night Heat. You look at WCW when they would have WCW Saturday Night and they were trying to push some younger stars. You didn't have these greener than green young stars facing greener than green young stars. No, you had names that were established, whether they were high on the food chain or not, they were taking them on. So when you see Ciampa around and Gargano and a few others, sure, there's going to be contracts coming up, no question. It happens to every company. But when you see some people around, and WWE's trying to re-sign people, if those wrestlers decide to go somewhere else because they choose to go somewhere else, that's not WWE forcing the older stars out to ruin Triple H's legacy. Those are people just trying to create a situation that's not there. And now they made their bed, they got to sleep in it. So you mean to tell me in our lifetime as wrestling fans, we never saw teacher versus student, old school versus new school? You mean to tell me we didn't see the veteran versus the rookie? We've seen it every decade. Every couple of years, you see something. You have protege against someone else. Remember Hogan and Abyss? Ding! I mean, there's countless. Zabisco and Bruno. You could just go down the line. Tough enough. Teacher, student. The Miz. Daniel Bryan. And just on and on and on. So, of course, Ciampa's whole character, when Ciampa came out and attacked Jake Atlas, do you remember Ciampa's promo? He is a veteran, and there's a lot of young wrestlers in that locker room, disrespectful, and he's old school. Now, I'm pissed off Timothy Thatcher has been irrelevant out of all of this, but that's his whole character. He's old school. He's a veteran. he's surrounded by hungry people that are trying to take his spot. That's been happening in fucking wrestling for 100 years. It's just back then, you didn't have these social media goofs trying to insist, no, it's this. They're trying to ruin Triple H. They want Triple H to get another heart attack. Hey, Triple H, who's your favorite wrestler? Oh, it's Keith. Good. You're fired!
Elizabeth! Elizabeth! It's time! Elizabeth! It's a big one!
Triple H, who do you really, really want to see become heavyweight champion?
Karrion Kross.
Well, good.
You're fired! Stephanie, call Elizabeth. It's a big one.
These people stupid? Not one investor, that invests millions and millions and millions in this company goes on a conference call and says, hey, I saw this podcast, Phil's Ribs and Wrestling, and he said that you're just firing people and ruining Triple H's legacy and everything he built in NXT, which is supposed to build his crops of tomorrow. Where are you going to find these young stars if you keep letting them go? And what's happening with Triple H? And is he losing his spot? And he's in a corner and he's wearing a dunce mask and everybody calls him a clown. And there's not one freaking investor. Not one. Zero. But I'm supposed to believe Sammy Schmuck. Out of here, man. I didn't plan the Red Fox thing. I don't stand in the bathroom and go, hey, you know, I think tonight.
I think you need the big one.
These people are so freaking stupid, but they made their bed. They thought they were onto something, and they weren't, so they keep forcing it. So now, the NXT TakeOver, well, excuse me, NXT War Games, can't use TakeOver because we don't want to compare it to the TakeOvers of yesteryear. We got old school versus new school. That is the main event. That is the storyline. And that's what it should be. That's what it should be. This is not VJ. Welcome, my friend. Happy anniversary. 8 months. Joe Gacy is an awesome heel. I will acknowledge you. He is an awesome heel, my friend. Joe Gacy will not win the championship. Well, Let's do predictions. Now, yesterday's NXT episode, which, by the way, did 637,000 viewers, up a little under 2%. You know, NXT is doing not bad in the ratings. If you look at the ratings prior to them going back to their roots with and going 2.0, I mean, they're actually doing decent. You know, obviously they're trying to change the demographics a little bit. So, but they're not doing bad right now. I think that they're, you know, developing a nice little niche. Obviously there's some wrestlers that were watching on TV and are like, yes, yeah, some of them will be let go soon. Not throwing any hints. I like Joe Gacy. They're onto something. Harlan, man. Fucking can't wait to see what this guy can do. But there's no rush. There's no rush. But yesterday, the big part of NXT, the big one, the big part of NXT yesterday was to develop which teams in War Games would have the one person advantage. So they had two ladder matches. And the fans were allowed to vote on WWE.com who you wanted to see in those matches. So on the women's side, we had Kay Lee Ray and Dakota Kai. Kaylee Ray got the win, so her team gets the one-person advantage of War Games. And then we had Bron Breakker beat Johnny Gargano in a fun match, a ladder match. So Bron Breakker's team gets the one-man advantage. Now, usually when a team gets the one-person advantage, it usually backfires in the end. But that was the gist of yesterday. Also, we had to find out who was going to be taking on Imperium for the tag titles at War Games. So yesterday we had Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner, Lurch, beating Legado del Fantasma. Yeah, I know a lot of people are not happy about Legado losing, but, you know, they're fine. no issues with them right now. They're good. They're good. How I feel about Von Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly, I'll tell you in a moment. Cameron Grimes over Andre Chase, that war is not done. They are now going to have a hair versus hair match at War Games. So yesterday, I think, did a great job building up for Sunday. I actually think they did a better job yesterday for War Games than WWE did with Survivor Series. We didn't have any of, you know, like the real wild brawls where SmackDown shows up on Raw and Raw turns SmackDown upside down and all that stuff. We didn't get any of that this year. So, with that said, let's talk War Games. Predictions. Now, am I going to be up here Sunday night after War Games? Yeah, why not? We're supposed to do the sit-down on Sunday, and obviously the sit-down normally would start at the same time as War Games, so we're not going to do a sit-down at 8 o'clock. But maybe what we'll do is we'll do a recap for War Games, and if it's really, really a good episode, then maybe we'll take some calls in the process. So that's the schedule for Sunday. Yes, I'll come up here and do War Games. I mean, I follow NXT every week. I have admitted it. I don't watch NXT on Tuesday night anymore. I watch it during the day on Wednesday while I'm at work. It's not must-see TV that I got to stop what I'm doing and watch it at Tuesday at 8 o'clock, being honest with you. Maybe my feelings change in the future. Rampage. I don't get that urge to watch Rampage first run unless there's something going on that really, really intrigues me that I got to see. So, but as long as we tune in, I mean, it's better than not tuning in at all. All right, so we got five matches announced. First off, Lurch, Von Wagner, and Kyle O'Reilly. Oh, look, the student and the teacher, the protege. Oh, I think Von Wagner needs to turn on Kyle O'Reilly. That guy has to be in free. Too bad WWE Films is not doing like a See No Evil 9. Von Wagner would be perfect as a maniac in a horror film. Von Wagner will have a future in movies, in horror films, I'm telling you. I personally would like to see Von Wagner beat the shit out of Kyle O'Reilly tomorrow, turn on him. The problem is the number of tag teams, and look, they have been doing this 420 storyline shit with MSK. You know, whatever that happens, at this point, I know we're all curious about it, but at this point, it's like, please, just get over with this and figure out what you're going to do with MSK next, because that's what this feels like. We got to put him aside for a little while. So let's do this storyline. It gave him a little break. But I want to see Von Wagner turn on Kyle O'Reilly. They have no shot of winning the tag title Sunday. Imperium, absolutely. Will retain. Absolutely will retain. Next, Cameron Grimes and Andre Chase, hair versus hair match. I know Cameron Grimes has a little bit less hair than before. If you take away all of his hair, you have nothing. You have nothing. Andre Chase is still so new that if you cut his hair and he keeps the beard, he could still kind of be in his character. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever Cameron Grimes is losing all that freaking hair. No freaking way. I think Cameron Grimes gets this win. I don't even think it's a topic of argument here. Makes no sense. It makes no sense. Oh, wait, I said Andre Chase. Duke Hudson. Stupid me. Andre Chase. Duke Hudson. Excuse me. Brain cramp. Brain fart. It's late over here. I've been up since 6 this morning. Duke Hudson. Duke Hudson, you know, could still do his gimmick. can still gamble. You mean to tell me bald people can't play cards? I think this actually would help him a little bit. There's no way Cameron Grimes is losing the rest of his hair. Seriously. You imagine him coming out? Did you see on NXT? You know, just picture a face, his face, without any facial hair, let alone the chest hair. Do you know, no joke, if any of you out there ever talk to Louis again, when you remember we did that match, it was Norman Smiley with Daphne, God rest her soul, and yours truly in Norman Smiley's corner. Norman Smiley took on Louis Ramos. And if Louis beat Norman, he got 5 minutes in the ring with me. And originally, because I had so much chest hair and back hair, we were also going to do something that if I was forced in a match and I lost, that I would have all my body hair shaved. You know, not just the, like I literally my chest hair. And if anybody ever saw, I don't think I have that one infamous Chia Pet photo handy. It was not prepared tonight for it. Maybe I'll show you tomorrow. Do I have it? I don't think I do have it. Maybe I do. Let me see. Maybe I'll get lucky and we'll find it really quick. If you see the chest hair, you understand why it would have been a big topic of discussion. Yeah, I don't think I have it handy. Somebody actually did like a high definition version of it, and that it looked 10 times worse. I'm looking one more. Just give me one more second. Just wait a moment. Maybe I'll get lucky and I'll find it. I don't think it's going to pop up. I'm kind of actually Oh, wait. Oh, there it is. There it is. All right. We could take this down for one moment. Yeah, yeah. Look at that fucking chest. Actually, yeah, there's the chest there. Look at that. Now, just imagine me with no shirt on at all. Imagine that. That's not like parts of my sweater in that chain. That's clumps of hair. That is my chest hair. I had signs of afro in my chest. Now imagine my whole entire midsection and my back like that. They were going to cut all my body hair off, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I don't know why I didn't do it, but so anyway, let's get back to predictions. So there's no way freaking Cameron Grimes is losing all that hair. Roderick Strong versus Joe Gacy for the Cruiserweight title. Harlan will be in Joe Gacy's corner. I absolutely would love to see Joe Gacy win this championship. To me, Roderick Strong, as much as I like Roderick Strong, it's just not, I'm not feeling it with him as a Cruiserweight champion. You know, I like a little bit of what they have done with the Diamond Mine. I like the changes in the on the team. Freaking Ivy Nile, love what they're doing with her. But as much as I want to see Joe Gacy get this, I think WWE may keep the title on Roderick Strong. Joe Gacy, I think, could carry that title. Joe Gacy's pretty freaking good. You know, this isn't somebody that wasn't wrestling before that they're starting from scratch from. So me, I'm going to go with Joe Gacy because I want Joe Gacy to win. See, when you do predictions, predict is not, let me tell you who I want to win. Let me tell you who I think is going to win. So me, I'm going to throw my prediction away and go with Joe Gacy because I want him to win. I just feel the stuff with Roderick Strong is just not strong enough. Yeah, I'm with you. Strong is going to, he should retain. He should. But you would think we need some type of title change tomorrow. I mean, Sunday, should we? Doesn't it feel like we should get at least one? So, I don't know. I'm going to go with Joe Gacy, even though, you know, my gut tells me Roderick Strong is retaining. They're probably not thinking it's the right time. But Joe Gacy definitely could get, I think Joe Gacy should take it, for real. But that's me more of a fan than predictions. Now we go to the women. We have Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Cora Jade, and Kylie Rae versus Dakota Kai Toxic Attraction, Mandy Rose, Gigi Dolin, JC Jane. As much as I would love to see Raquel Gonzalez's team win, I can't see both the new school beating the old school. And yes, I know this is not old school versus new school, especially when you look at Cora Jade's age. But if you look at the team on the right, yes, Dakota Kai is a little bit more of a veteran, but still a lot of people feel that Gigi Dolin and JC Jane are more on the rookie side. I look at more of lineage as far as veterans. You look at Raquel Gonzalez and Io Shirai, that alone should say to you, oh, they should survive. I get the feeling. VJ, you obviously don't watch NXT because Kylie Rae and Kaylee Rae are two different people. So I think Toxic Attraction and Dakota Kai are going to win this one, because when I get to the men's side, you'll understand why I'm going with Toxic Attraction. Sure, they could lose War Games. Doesn't affect their championships at all. But I almost feel like that team probably needs the victory more than the opposite side. I see Cora Jade getting eliminated almost immediately. Kylie Rae will be really interesting. Now remember, we have Raquel Gonzalez's team with the one person advantage. So I think that in itself would enhance why Toxic Attraction and Dakota Kai's victory would mean that much more. Guardian of Chaos, thank you very much, my friend, for the kind words. And he gives a shout-out to everybody in the chat, and much love, my friend. I will definitely have a keto cafe latte tomorrow. There is a Starbucks literally 5 blocks from my house. I do go there now, and they do kind of accommodate people that are on keto. So, but I bring my little packets of MCT oil and I pour one in. But thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Thank you. So I'm going with Toxic Attraction and Dakota Kai to get the win. I know what you're all going to say too. Raquel Gonzalez and Io Shirai need a little bit of revenge. Absolutely. I am not saying that they shouldn't, but I think this time around, I got to go with the champions to win it. And the reason why I'm going with them to win it even more is because of this. Team Black and Gold, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight versus Bron Breakker, which is Team 2.0. Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Grayson Waller, and Tony D'Angelo. We don't need to bring up the huge, bright future of Bron Breakker. If you go back to my shows when they first signed Carmelo Hayes, everything that this guy has right now, I'm not saying I predicted it, but I said it was going to happen. Saw big star in that guy from day one. Even before that tournament, he was my pick to win it. And Carmelo Hayes, they got a big diamond in the rough as well. Tony D'Angelo is great in the character. And my God, his first debut, people are already saying, give him the championship. You know, I mean, a little bit too much of the... No, that's the... Is that how you do it? A little too much of that. The motherfucker, they don't even know his background. They think he's been working the indies for 10 years. Yeah, give him the championship. As Tony D'Angelo would say, Stu Knotts. Stu Knotts. Oh, speaking of Stu Knotts, wait till you see the shirt I have for next week. I might have it in time for NXT War Games, so maybe I'll get to wear it. It actually is a Stu Knotts shirt. But as much as I like Tony D'Angelo, I don't think it's time yet. I am going with the veterans to win this. And you know what's sad? and I know a lot of you out there will agree with me on this, and then we're going to wrap it up for tonight. You know what's sad? Everybody out there that insisted, that tried to make you believe that WWE is intentionally trying to erase Triple H's legacy with NXT. You know, even though Becky Lynch and Charlotte and Asuka and Bayley and, you know, others on the men's side that have come to NXT that have been developed by Triple H, none of them count. None of them count. No, no. Everything from 2010 to 2019, that don't count. That don't count. Those people that are forcing this issue that Triple H is being treated like crap and they're trying to erase him, now they have to run with it. They need 2.0 to win this. They need 2.0 to win this. If 2.0 wins this, you will have all of these people telling you the final nail was put in the coffin. At NXT War Games, the final nail. I'm telling you. I see it a mile away. Now, would I have a problem with 2.01? No, I would have no problem at all. Because since Bron Breakker is not yet heavyweight champion, he could get a consolation and win more games. So if 2.0 wins, I'm fine with it. I am absolutely fine with it. But I personally think, just for statement purposes, that the veterans are not dead yet. They're not dead and buried yet. I think Team Black and Gold get the win. I'm going with Team Black and Gold to get this win. I think you will see 2.0 have a freaking run at it. I think there'll be some wild stuff that'll go down. But I think in the end, 2.0 will lose and Black and Gold show that they ain't dead yet. They ain't done yet. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Ciampa or somebody in a promo during the pay-per-view, after the pay-per-view, says, we ain't done yet. You know, so that's where I'm going with. But how freaking sad is it that people pushed an agenda and are now rooting for one team just to use that because of the agenda that they built? Instead of just enjoying a freaking pay-per-view, instead of taking in the matches and enjoying it and see what they can do, is this going to be a perfect pay-per-view? No. Is it going to knock it out of the park? I have no idea. This is developmental territory now. So it's not meant to. They are taking the takeover out of it so people do not compare it to the Undisputed Era War Games, to this. No, they're trying to take, you know, a lot of the pressure off of these wrestlers. Of course, there's no pressure, or a lot less pressure, on Ciampa's side or Io Shirai and others, because they've been there, they've done it. But they're trying to take the pressure off of the newer stars or the soon-to-be stars that, you know, don't think that you have to, you know, risk your career to make a moment. So just enjoy the pay-per-view. Whatever happens, happens. But again, just go back and when I put the timestamps up, if you need a refresher, go back to my Red Fox shit from earlier. Until I see investors concerned about Triple H's position in that company, I'm not going to trust, you know, Steve Slams and Suckass.com to tell me that WWE is forcing Triple H out. I just can't believe that people haven't started to say that the WWE releases is what caused Triple H's heart. That's how whack it is. That's how wacky it is. So anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. I went about 12, 13 minutes over. Probably because of that little Triple H rant, but I think it was needed talking about, you know, the current status of NXT. I'm not concerned with it at all. I mean, I think you should understand now WWE 2.0 and how they're operating during this COVID and during a pandemic and during inflation and during a lot of things. I'm not saying that it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just reality. It's reality. So some people, between now and a couple of months, will be let go from NXT. There, no question. And they will churn and churn and keep turning it over. But anybody that signs right now, it's a risk. This is the risk that they take. When they sign the dotted line to become a part of WWE, whether it's for NXT in the main roster or whoever else, they know the risk that's involved. If they don't freaking deliver, if they don't show that they are the exception to the rule and why they should be kept, they know that within 6 months they could be out of there. They know the risk that they're taking. And they still take it. And you will still see people take it. And you will see people sign, and that's their prerogative. That's what they choose to do. So, all right, everyone. Again, if you don't mind on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button. If you're not a subscriber yet, please do subscribe. If you have any friends you think that would like the shows, check it out. And once again, BlueWirePods.com, BlueWirePods.com. I am now there. And, you know, for all of you out there that check out the shows on various platforms, you probably noticed that nothing really has been interfered with. So you still have access to the shows. And now based on your fan, well, I hate using fan because we're family. Based on your voting, I'm going to start working on uploading some older shows from like 2004 to 2007. That is going to be my project for the next couple of weeks. So little by little, you will see retro episodes posted. And it's amazing to look back at that and realize that we'll be putting up shows almost 20 years from 20 years ago. 20 years. All right. I am out of here. Much love, everyone. And I'll see you tomorrow night, 10.05 p.m. for Q&A, AMA, trivia, whatever we feel like getting into. So much love, everybody. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.